We'll open our Bibles to two places this morning, Isaiah 40 and also Romans 5. If you're not that familiar with the Bible, that's okay. The Old Testament, there's a big fat book in the middle of the Old Testament called Psalms. Keep going a little past there and you'll find Isaiah. It's a pretty thick prophetic book, and we'll be in Isaiah 40. And then after we read that, Lord willing, we'll be able to read from Romans chapter 5. We open our Bibles because that's what we can do with our hands. You know, it's more important to open our hearts. And we actually can't do that. Only God can do that. And that's why we pray. Living God, as we open our Bibles, we ask that you would open our hearts. This only you can do by your Spirit. And this we are desperate to have you do in us and for us, that we might be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Bah humbug. You know what this means. You may be sitting next to one. You may be one. Bah humbug. In case you're unclear on the concept, humbug, definition, noun, deceptive or false talk or behavior. Second meaning, humbug, an imposter, to be or to behave like an imposter. Third alternate meaning, to deceive. This term is often associated with Ebenezer Scrooge, who referred to Christmas as a fraud. Humbug, Christmas time, a time of unjustified publicity and spectacle. Christmas, supposed to be a time of hope and joy and generosity. And humbug means that the generosity is good for nothing, and the joy is a fraud, and the hope can't really be counted on. When Ebenezer, that much put upon character in Dickens' little story, first utters the word bah humbug, it's when the collectors shake their can of coins and come up to his business, and they actually present a book where you're supposed to write what your pledge is and put your name next to it. And they at first innocently mistake Scrooge's unwillingness to write his name in the book, like, well, this is a really wealthy guy who wants to remain anonymous and he's going to give us a lot and not even put his name there. And Scrooge disabuses them of that notion because he says, basically, bah humbug. Around Christmas time, everybody gets all generous and gives a lot of money to a lot of causes, and you know what? It doesn't do any good. The world still stinks. And people are still hungry. And all this generosity is a fraud. And all of this expectation of hope is unfounded and ungrounded. And if we're honest, we have to admit, there actually is a lot of humbug in the world. And Scrooge is by no means 100% wrong. There's a lot of fraudulent appeals for generosity. There are a lot of people who will tell you what you want to hear in order to get from you what they want from you. The politicians are always the same. They never seem to be in it for the public good. They seem to be in it for themselves. There's all sorts of humbug in all sorts of places, and that's just the kind of people we live around and the type of people that we are. And church gatherers, especially around Christmas time, have to say, is it humbug? Is it a fraudulent hope? Or is our hope grounded and founded and certain and real? That's what happens when it comes time to open this book. I mean, Jason said it in his testimony, and Dan and Debbie both said it in their testimony. When they began to read the scripture for themselves, God started to open their heart. And what seemed far away became near, and what seemed maybe not true or not reliable became what they found their very lives on. When we open this book, we're not opening to a bunch of humbug. We're opening to an offer of hope that is founded and grounded and genuine. The first place I want to look is Isaiah 40. And then hopefully we can look for just a moment at Romans chapter 5. There is a lot of humbug, but not here, not when we open this book. Let's look together at Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Comfort, comfort, cry out to my people, God says, that warfare has ended. Man, I want warfare to end. I hate it when I hear that another teenager was shot in Milwaukee, in Chicago. I want warfare to end. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places shall become a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Don't know if you caught in the middle there of verse 5, it says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. That is fantastic news of hope. Because when it says all flesh will see the glory of the Lord, the way we can read that is to mean you don't have to be a certain ethnicity or race. You don't have to come up to a certain income level to qualify to behold God. All of humanity gets in on this. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Man, the grass withers, and the flower fades. Surely I am not the only person who got exactly what he asked for two Christmases ago. And I can't even remember what it was now. I was so happy to get it. 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months, and it fades, and you're back on Amazon because they made a new one that makes the old one totally useless. Everything fades. There is a lot of humbug. There's a lot of unjustified hype. But the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up and fear not, and say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Reminds me of just of what Brennan sang and Mary's song of the might of God, and that his arm came down to earth to save us. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. And then beginning in verse 12, it talks about how awesome our God is, that he holds all the oceans in the palm of his hand, and he weighs the mountains in the scale like you weigh the almonds you purchase at the market. And this is how great our God is. And yet, though he comes with power, with his mighty right arm, making war to make warfare cease, it says there, did you hear it, that if there's a little lamb, he's gentle enough to stoop down and to carry it to safety. This text begins by saying, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. God says, whatever's happening in your life, you'll either be comforted by me, or you'll say this is all a bunch of humbug. It's one or the other. I mean, Jason's young man who's, at least right now, that plan to provide for his family by playing ball is not there. He's finding another way. Dan and Debbie, a little bit older couple, they're facing what is completely bad news as far as Dan's medical diagnosis. God says, comfort. Either you'll hear my word as comfort, or you'll hear my word as a bunch of humbug. When trouble happens in your life, like it happens to Jason, like it happened to Dan and Debbie, it happens in my life and my family, when trouble happens, you only get two options. That trouble becomes so large in your beholding and your vision that your ability to behold God as he really is shriveled by what that trouble has done to your soul. Or when trouble comes into your life, that trouble drives you to behold God. And you get to see God in such stunning clarity, his promises, his righteousness, his faithfulness, his love, that trouble actually became the means to crystallize and clarify your vision of God. I think that really all that Christmas is God delivering on his promises to prove once and for all that the hope that God offers is no humbug, but it's grounded and founded and solid and true. So from the broad brush of the prophet Isaiah, let's look at one place among many where this comes to fruition and fulfillment. Turn ahead to Romans chapter 5. Christmas is the way that God proves that the hope of the gospel is no humbug. Because God says in Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The broad outlines of the promises of Isaiah are filled in the Gospels in the New Testament, and then in every epistle in the New Testament, and even here in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 begins with the word therefore, which reaches back to say that what's already happened in Romans is Romans 1, 2, and the first half of 3. God has disclosed why we are so hopeless, that we really are a bunch of humbugs who deceive each other and deceive ourselves, and we've all sinned. That's 1 and 2 in the first half of 3. The second half of chapter 3, God begins to disclose, in even using some of the phrases of Isaiah about atonement and the suffering servant and propitiation and substitution, that this is the way that God has ordained for all that sin to be taken out of the way, for God himself to come and bear that sin. Now, in Romans 5, we're beginning to get to the personal enjoyment of this plan of salvation. Because listen to all the personal pronouns here. Picking it up there in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not we hope for it, we have it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him we have also obtained, past or past perfect, we're standing in this, we have obtained it, by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And then it says, hope does not put us to shame. Another translation says, hope does not disappoint. ESV says, hope does not put us to shame. Another translation says, hope does not disappoint. Dickens' translation would say, our gospel hope is not a humbug. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Boasting in a hope that does not disappoint is the opposite of humbug. That's the point. Boasting, exulting in a hope that does not disappoint is the opposite of humbug. Humbug says that gospel promises, Christmas good cheer is fraudulent and it'll never happen. But we know that we can boast in a hope that will never disappoint. Why is that? Why can we be so certain that our hope will not disappoint? The reason why is the last 5 words of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through, that's the preposition. It's not through us. It's not through religion. It's only through him. Through our, that's the personal pronoun, that he's our Lord and Savior. And then there's the threefold title of Jesus, born to save us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can boast in a hope that doesn't disappoint because of what Jesus Christ has done and who Jesus Christ is. That's the only reason that our hope doesn't disappoint. That's why he'll go on to say in verse 6 that Christ died for the ungodly. He'll say in verse 8, while we were weak, Christ died for us. He'll use this marvelous phrase that Christian people use all the time, the blood, in verse 9. He'll say, it's by his blood, it's by his blood. He'll say in verse 10, by the death of his son, he saved us. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have hope that doesn't put us to shame, that doesn't disappoint. The reason we have a hope that is certain is because Jesus Christ came into this world and lived a perfect life for us and died in our place. And then he rose again to vindicate the success, the reality of his work. And then it says specifically in this text that after he ascended, the Holy Spirit was sent. He told his disciples, hey, I'm going to leave you, but when I leave, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit who will radiate the reality of my love within your hearts. That's what Romans 5 is insisting on, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Boasting in a hope that does not disappoint is the opposite of humbug. And that's what we need. We all have challenges for which we need to receive comfort. And the hope that we have is not simply, I can't promise you every bit of cancer will go away and every prodigal will come back and everything will be fine in the next 10 years. But our hope is founded on the reality that our God knows what's happening in our lives, and He Himself experiences it with us, and He Himself will preserve us through it all. Boasting in a hope that does not disappoint is the opposite of humbug. We're pretty easily disappointed. I have had such a life that my disappointments have been very, very small. I have a dad. I can't remember my dad disappointing me. He's a wonderful, wonderful Christian man. Except for one Christmas when I was 9 years old, when he broke my ever-loving heart. What happened was, my brother and I wanted these Star Wars things, these ships and these lightsabers and stuff, and my mom always wraps the presents. I should have known something was going on because Dad wrapped the presents this year. And under the tree, there it is. It's like shaped, you know, like the Millennium Falcon and Chewbacca and the lightsabers and everything. The presents are shaped exactly like that. And we rip into them, and it's socks and pajamas. Is there anything more horrifying to a 9-year-old than socks and pajamas? Of course, he had the other stuff and he had hidden it, you know, somewhere else in the house. Our hope might turn out to be a humbug if our hope is only in something that might happen when we unwrap the next Bible verse. Hear me. Our hope might turn out to be humbug if our hope is in the next good thing that we have to do to convince God to work things out our way. Romans 5 does not indicate for one syllable of its glorious text that our hope is dependent on something that might happen in the future. Romans 5 does not indicate for one instant that our hope is dependent on us doing something good religiously the next moment that we have. Romans 5 says that our hope is solid and grounded and sure because He is and He has already come. Our hope is certain because that star already lit up the sky. Our hope is certain because there have already been camel tracks in the sand when the wise men came. Our hope is certain because that little baby, he was laying in the manger, and the angels already called the shepherds to go and worship the Christ child. And our hope is certain because the waters of the Jordan already flowed over the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was baptized to identify with sinners and fulfill all righteousness. Our hope is certain because Jesus Christ already opened the eyes of the blind, loosened the tongues of the deaf, and raised the dead. Our hope is certain because Jesus sat at a table with His disciples and He said, "This is our last meal. I'm not going to eat with you again until my kingdom, but it's to your advantage that I go, because if I go, we will send the Holy Spirit who will radiate the reality of my love in your heart in a way that cannot be denied and cannot be stifled by any trial." Our hope is certain Because the nails split his skin and impaled him to the wood. And our hope is certain, because those lifeless eyes blinked open when he walked out of the grave. If you know Jesus Christ, your hope is no humbug. Rejoice in the hope of the gospel. If you do not yet know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, behold your God. Bow the knee and so be saved. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, bring us to behold you. Mighty to save, strong to deliver, gentle to carry the lambs home to safety. Our God, open our hearts. Oh, our God, open our eyes to behold our Lord Jesus Christ, and beholding him to believe, and believing to live. In Jesus' name, amen.